Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. Jerry's here sitting in for Dave, and this is Short Stuff. Giddy up, tally-ho, let's go. Let's make sure this one doesn't blow.
Ooh, saucy.
Thank you.
A curse upon your house.
A pox upon you then, jerk.
I would never write a curse tablet for you, my friend.
No, nor would I. I mean, like, I would even think that would go without saying, because it's just such a jerk move to write a curse tablet against somebody if you think about it.
Yeah, I never had heard of these before.
Me either.
These are what it sounds like. It's a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
This is generally ancient Rome or Greece,
right,
with a curse inscribed upon it. And you would generally inscribe this curse after somebody's death, right?
Not necessarily.
Usually, though.
There's one, a famous one in Pompeii that somebody affixed to a tomb. So you could do it after death. And what you were essentially saying, do you want to read that one?
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready.
And this comes through our friends from HowStuffWorks.com and Ancient Rome and Ancient Greece. Stranger, stay a short while, if it is not too troublesome, and learn what to avoid. This man, who I hoped was a friend of mine, brought prosecutors to me, a.k.a. persecutors, sort of?
No, I think,
or
like,
literal prosecutors.
I think he sued him.
Oh, okay. Prosecutors to me. And, oh, yeah, sure. And instigated proceedings. Mm-hmm. I am grateful to the gods and my innocence, colon. I am free from all trouble. He who deceived us, may he not receive the penates, which are the household gods, nor the underworld.
Right. So what this guy who cursed this other person's tomb was saying is, this guy's a jerk. I hope that his soul basically doesn't even make it to the afterlife. That,
yeah,
essentially he's just doomed to wander aimlessly for eternity because he sued me once.
That's right. And this is a great example of a sort of a standard issue curse tablet, mm-hmm, also known at times as a defixion.
Wow, nice. I was going to say the E on the end and pinch my forefinger and thumb together.
Defixione.
Yeah, I think that's it.
You might be right. But this was a common practice at various times through the ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not necessarily always written on the same thing. Sometimes it was papyrus. Sometimes I believe they found lamps and pieces of clay and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of depends on how much money you had. But there was a lot of lead because of the silver mining operations, especially near Athens. And so lead turned out to be a really great sort of permanent thing that you could carve something on, and apparently looks really cool when carved upon.
Yeah, there's somebody interviewed in the How Stuff Works article that said, you know, when you write on it, when you carve it, it has like this kind of like silvery line that really kind of pops, I guess, against like the dullness of the oxidized lead. And then also, it's just easy to write in lead. You can carve in it pretty easily. You don't have to be like a silversmith of any sort to do that. You
right.
can just be an average schmo with something sharp.
That's right. There was a historian, too, they talked to that said that it kind of came and went throughout history, but it interestingly was like a real fad and then went away really quickly each time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a gradual rise and fall. They described it as sharp spikes in popularity.
Yeah, and I saw that the time that it popped up was somewhere around like 500 BCE to maybe 350 BCE is when it first starts. And if you'll remember, Chuck, from our bicameralism episode, that's about the time people got their brain, their consciousness in order and started to get superstitious because the gods had abandoned them.
Interesting.
I think so, too. I wonder if this has anything to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Might have just been part of that time, you know?
Yeah. Why not? Julian Jayne's hypothesis wasn't scientific. I can add to it any way I like.
All right. So let's... It's very smug the way he said that. I liked it. That always reminds me, anytime I hear the word smug, when Tom Cruise talked to Matt Lauer about being smug.
Oh, yeah? No, I never saw that one.
Oh, it's one of the great clips. Of course, Matt Lauer ended up being a creep.
Yeah.
So I'm not defending him, but I think he was talking about Scientology, and he just kept... Oh, no, he was talking about glib. Sorry. Matt, you're being glib.
Yeah, that's right. I have seen that. Yeah.
Good clip. All right, let's take a break and ponder Tom Cruise-ness, and we'll be back to talk about cursed tablets right after this. S-Y-S-K.
You should know. S-Y-S-K. You should know. Josh Clark.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So one of the things that people seem to do, and this was like when they were in fashion, when cursed tablets were in fashion, everybody was into them. But
sure.
It seems like one of the things that you would do is like curse your rivals. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your rival in politics, your rival in business. I think some people mm-hmm. cursed the rival chariot teams to their favorite sure. chariot teams, which is
neighbors.
Really lunkheaded. But it just goes to show people have been lunkheaded for thousands of years, right?
There's always been lunks.
Yeah, your neighbors, especially if you have some sort of dispute, anyone who takes you to court. And then also people who are romantic rivals to somebody you like. I saw one that basically said, Helen be bound when she tries to flirt with or have sex with, you know, the dude that I like, whatever his name was, I don't remember. And that basically she was saying, like, please, gods, intervene and keep her from being able to perform in the sack with Aristophanes, let's say.
Yeah.
Who I'm now hoping was a man.
Or Romulus, by the way, smells bad and has a small pee-pee.
Yeah. But the whole thing was the whole thing was that you were basically calling upon the gods, you were invoking the gods to do something bad to this person that you did not like.
Yeah, and so as you would imagine, if you had a lot of money, you were probably more educated, you could probably spell and write these things yourself. But if you were wealthy, you probably paid someone to do it, maybe beautifully. But like you said, all stripes did it. So if you didn't have a lot of money, that may have been one like on a shard of clay. Mm-hmm. And you would go to, you may not be able to read or write. So you would go to a magician. And these magician, how it was described in this House of Works article, were like contract attorneys.
Right.
And they would kind of give you a template and have blanks and, you know, say, fill in the blanks with like, who's your grievance? what's his name, and what was the grievance? And then they would sort of fill this thing in, Fred Flintstone style. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were times even where they found some examples of these where the name or the grievance was so long that they had to kind of squish it in and these template forms, right. Which is really funny if you think about it.
Yeah, and also it sounds like an ancient Mad Lib, but magic Mad Lib, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So these things got so popular and so widespread that in some of the curse tablets, they'll find, like, clauses that say, and if the other person finds out that I've cursed them and they try to reverse curse me, then I am rubber and they're glue in that case.
Yeah.
And their curse will bounce off of me and stick to them instead.
Right. And they would say, what is rubber?
I mean, let's just step back for a second, Chuck. We're essentially talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A curse tablet and saying I'm rubber and you're glue is basically the same thing. I just think we should point that out.
Yeah, and it's funny. I do need to poke a little fun at this article because I didn't include it for your... I should have included it so you could have a laugh,
sure,
too.
Sure, I need a laugh.
Deleted it.
God, I need a laugh.
At the end, it was talking about where these things, kind of when they fell out of popularity. And it's like, well, some argue that even though they don't do it anymore, our society is still very much like this. And just take a look at Twitter, a sort of modern version of a curse tablet.
I got a laugh.
Yeah,
thanks, man. Yeah, I guess I kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were cursing Twitter just then. Another thing, too, is there was a person interviewed that said that they were like a magical arms race because there'd be curses, counter curses, amulets, like the evil eye, you know, or the eye of Osiris, maybe, the very famous like amulet or symbol. That was worn to ward off curses. Like, I think that was the rubber that you would wear so that the curses would bounce off of you.
Oh, like I'm looking at you, buddy.
Basically. And then that's it. Curse tablets gone for the better. Short stuff.
Yes.
Out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.